Prince Harry and Meghan Markle take on New York as he addresses the UN on Nelson Mandela Day.
On my wall and in my heart every day is an image of my mother and Mandela meeting in Cape Town in 1997.
The Duchess of Cornwall celebrates her 75th birthday, and royal expert Richard Fitzwilliams reveals how the public perception of Camilla has changed.
Well, I think it's been appreciated that firstly, of course, she's very supportive to Charles. There's no question about that. They've always been an ideal match with the controversial background of which we all know that goes back decades.
And royal expert Jonathan Sacerdoti reveals if the royal rift between Harry and his family will deepen with the release of Tom Bower's bombshell new book.
If it's revealing secrets, revealing stories of what happened behind the scenes through sourced and reliable means, then I think, you know, I think that'll be potentially very damaging, both to the royal family and to the ex-royals, if you can call them that.
We've got that plus so much more in today's Royally Us. All right, hello to our fellow royal lovers and welcome to Royally Us. I'm Christina, that's Christine, and we say it every week, but this is a lot of big news this week. We have big speeches, this bombshell book that came out that's getting a lot of people talking. So I'm excited to dive into it with you, Christine, as always.
Yeah, there's a lot of, stuff to discuss. There's so many. I think that bombshell book is going to be really interesting. Okay, let's talk about it.
Before we get to all that, we had to see what you guys had to say about last week's show. We dedicated last week's show completely to Duchess Kate, and Music Morsel says warm, gracious, talented, dedicated, elegant. Kate is definitely a crown jewel. Looking forward to the day that she becomes queen consort. And Mark says an accomplished athlete, an accomplished musician, an accomplished member of the royal family. Not to mention, she is kind and compassionate. And when you see her with her children, I have no doubt she is a great mother too. She will probably be the next people's princess, if not the next people's queen. Seems a lot of people are always in favor of Duchess Kate.
Yeah, so it's funny. Someone asked me, like, how does Kate do all these things? She's an athlete. She's a musician. She bakes. She makes her own pasta. And I was like, she doesn't sit around scrolling Instagram. So I think that's her secret.
Who knows? She might when she's late night when the kids go to bed. Maybe she has her own secret account.
Scrolls.
I love it. All right. Well, like we said, there's a lot to get to. So let's get into our royal roundup and kick it off with Prince Harry and Duchess Meghan taking on New York City. The couple stepped out hand in hand as Harry addressed the UN on Nelson Mandela Day. So take a look at this.
I first visited Africa at 13 years old. I've always found hope on the continent. In fact, for most of my life, it has been my lifeline, a place where I've found peace and healing time and time again. It's where I felt closest to my mother and sought solace after she died, and where I knew I had found a soulmate in my wife. If we can see one another's humanity just as he did, a better day will truly be on the horizon.
So yeah, this was like a wide-ranging speech. You know, he touched on some very personal issues, talking about Princess Diana, saying how, you know, when he visited Africa, that was when he found solace after his mother died. That's when he knew that Meghan was his soulmate. But he also got pretty political in this speech as well, talking about, you know, how everybody has suffered over the past couple of years with the COVID-19 pandemic, and even bringing up Roe v. Wade. So it seems like he's definitely dipping his toe in the political atmosphere, which he's been doing for quite some time a little bit.
Yeah, it's been so interesting to see Meghan and Harry really carving out their new role, because they really had a blank slate. And it's interesting to see what they've chosen to do with that, you know, the platform that they now have. And it was so interesting, as Prince Harry spoke out about, you know, Roe v. Wade, then we saw Meghan stepping out with Gloria Steinem, which I thought was just so neat. What a pair, like what a partnership to see those two women out together and working together.
Yeah, no. And they recently did a Vogue feature together talking about Roe v. Wade and mental health for women. So it seems like you said, they are definitely getting a little bit more political, trying to still, I feel, find their niche of what they want to do post royal life. It seems like they're still trying to figure it out, I think.
Right. Well, like, yeah, I think that they are really, they're trying to figure it out, but they have this massive platform, but yeah, a completely blank slate with what to do with it. So I think it's probably hard to figure out, okay, what do we do now?
Right. No, exactly. Which avenue do we want to kind of go down? And I think, you know, I think
they'll figure it out.
They'll figure it out. There will be some missteps along the way. And I think a lot of people were kind of like, huh, why are they at the UN? Why are they doing this? But yes, I think that, like, you know, like we said, you know, they have this blank slate and they're trying to figure out where they kind of fit into everything. They also enjoyed a date night in New York City as well. They stepped out having some dinner with friends. So it seems like they're having a good time, and it's always nice to see them out and about.
Yeah, it is exciting, especially when we don't see them for so long. Yes. To have like a day or two where there's tons of pictures and Meghan steps out in these amazing outfits. It's really fun to see.
It is. Well, speaking of Prince Harry, he is asking the tough questions about mental health in a short film for Better Up, the coaching and mental health company for which he is the chief impact officer. So take a look.
Throughout the years of traveling around the world, what I saw was the similarities of experiences of trauma, of loss, of grief, of being human.
Yeah.
That building up of resilience is absolutely critical.
So this was pretty cool. He sat down with a number of people, including Chloe Kim, who was, of course, a two-time Olympic gold medalist, talking about mental health. But he was the one that was doing the interviewing, asking the tough questions, and really, you know, shining a light on mental health, which was something that he's been passionate about for years.
Yeah, I'm so glad to see him continuing this work. This was really, you know, the center point, the focal point of his work when he was a working member of the royal family. And I'm glad he's able to continue it in a new way now that he's, again, carving this new role.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, the Duchess of Cornwall celebrated a big birthday, her 75th birthday, with a brand new photo featuring her rescue dog, Beth. So cute. She also opened up in an ITV special about working with her daughter-in-law, Duchess Kate, for the Country Life magazine. Of course, Kate shot her cover photo for this. So take a quick look.
She did a really good picture. She does it very sort of naturally. There's no...
Yes.
We had a lot of fun doing it.
So. Yes.
It was very relaxed. And of course, very kindly, the Duchess Cambridge came with her camera. She's an extremely good photographer. And it was all very casual. You know, there wasn't much hair or makeup. It was just done in the garden with a lot of laughs, and it was a lovely way of doing it.
I love that she said it was a relaxing, calm atmosphere, just the two of them, just kind of, you know, taking a cover photo. I love this.
I thought it was so great. It really gave, you know, in a sort of quiet way, it showed that Camilla has Kate's stamp of approval. Yeah. And that Kate has Camilla's stamp of approval. Just knowing that they have a really lovely relationship, that Camilla trusted her with this, I think was wonderful. And it was an incredible, the special was really interesting. If you can find a way to watch it, I definitely would. And the photo shoot was just a really beautiful way to see her. It's nice to see Camilla have some time in the spotlight.
Definitely. It really is. I love how she said that there wasn't a lot of hair and makeup. It was just, you know, very low key. And, you know, I feel like, you know, and she opened up a little bit more about becoming queen consort. You know, Queen Elizabeth made that announcement during the Platinum Jubilee weekend. And she said in the interview that she really praised her late father-in-law, Prince Philip, for the example that he showed about how to be consort and how to be supportive to the monarch, and recognize that it must have been very difficult for him, for the macho naval commander, to take a step back. She said, "I learned that your place is several feet behind the monarch. You're there as a backup." She really understands her role. It doesn't seem like she wants to be the one kind of commanding the spotlight. She's okay with taking that step back and being there as a support system.
Right. I think she sees the platform that she will have, that she already has, to work toward, you know, to promote the causes that she's so passionate about. And some of those are, you know, rescue animals. And some of that is domestic violence, you know, really important issues. And I think she knows that even though she's sort of second in command, or, you know, she's a few steps behind, mm-hmm. she's still able to have this tremendously impactful platform and to, you know, do these impactful things and change people's lives in different ways. So it's interesting to see her, you know, talk about how she kind of knows where her place is and still knows why that's valuable.
Right. Definitely. Well, the public perception of Camilla has certainly changed over the years. And to help us break down that even further is royal expert Richard Fitzwilliams. Take a look. I mean, how do you think the public perception of her has changed in recent years?
Well, I think it's been appreciated that firstly, of course, she's very supportive to Charles. There's no question about that. They've always been an ideal match with the controversial background, of which we all know that goes back decades. But they've got similar age groups, similar sense of humour, similar friends. They were... very well matched, and of course her main job is to support him. But there's absolutely no doubt that if you look at the way she's developed her charity work, she has taken a much higher profile relatively recently, and also topics such as domestic violence, abuse, rape. She has done, I think, extraordinarily well in tackling these and in being supportive, as well as osteoporosis and animal welfare and literacy and so forth. But I think there's a great deal of respect for her publicly, a certain amount of affection. There is also, one has to bear this in mind, I mean, in August, 25 years since Diana's tragic death. So the things have, in that sense, moved on and did some time ago. But it remains the case that when anything comes up about Diana, it obviously reflects badly on Charles and Camilla. We've got the Crown to a series yet to come, which won't be helpful. But I think there's no question at all that the Queen, in making it certain that she would be Queen Consort and not Princess Consort, because of nonsense anyway, to do that in a statement marking Platinum Jubilee year. I mean, that was so significant and so important, because this issue was fudged for such a long time. And what was absolutely necessary was to clear this. Otherwise, undoubtedly, when Charles did ascend the throne, if it was announced then, you could imagine problems in the months to come before the coronation, especially.
Definitely. And do you think that I know she recently did an interview where she talked about becoming Queen Consort and how she was so honored, and she really looked to Prince Philip to kind of understand that role. I mean, what kind of Queen Consort do you think that she will be?
She will be supportive. She will be dutiful. There's no doubt she has a fear of flying, but nonetheless, they've carried out some extremely successful tour. Incidentally, the test of a successful royal tour is sometimes, if it isn't noticed or noticed that much, there's no question that she has found a niche, and the British people, I think, respect it. Having said that, I don't think there is overwhelming enthusiasm, there never has been, for her being Queen Consort, but it's accepted. You can see this in the polls, and it's a great deal more accepted that this one day will be the case. So I think she's also, and the Queen realizes how well she's done, and this has reflected. She's the Lady Companion of the Order of the Garter, which is a senior order of chivalry. She's a Privy Councillor. She's also got the highest rank of the Royal Victorian Order, all of this in the Queen's personal gift. So given the fact that there was such an awkward background to so much of this, things seem to be stable in this particular area, and she is a much valued, hard-working member of the royal family who, so far as charitable activities is concerned, is pretty high profile too, alongside her support, of course, for Charles.
Yeah, it has definitely changed over the years. I mean, going all the way back to, you know, the scandal of the love triangle, and now she's been more welcomed and more, you know, people are more welcoming to her. But who knows, that might all change when the next season of The Crown comes out.
Oh my goodness.
Can't wait. All right, well, now it is time to spill the royal tea, and Hugh Grant shut down rumors that he will be portraying Prince Andrew in the upcoming movie Scoop. Now, according to Deadline, screenwriter Peter Moffat is turning Prince Andrew's disastrous sit-down interview with BBC Newsnight anchor Emily Maltas into a movie. The film will follow how the BBC's Newsnight team got the scoop, then the actual filming of it. That's what the screenwriter told Deadline. And he also said that the other thing is, why did he agree to do it? Very, very good questions.
Yes, I think it'll be really interesting. I'm a bit sad that it's not Hugh Grant. I was kind of excited about that.
Me too. I mean, who knows? Maybe down the line, maybe they'll convince him to do otherwise, but I think he would do a great job.
He really would. I think this is going to be so interesting. Even in the last few weeks, I've seen more details emerge about this interview, the other interview that Prince Andrew did, just how this whole disaster sort of unraveled. And it kind of is, it's unfortunately for the members of the royal family, it's the story that won't go away because there's still so many questions. I think especially, why on earth did you do this?
Yes, why on earth did you do it? So many questions. And speaking of having so many questions, we have to talk about this new book from Tom Bauer. Everybody's talking about it. It is called Revenge, Meghan, Harry, and the War Between the Windsors. It's already making waves, like we said, causing a lot of discussion. So let's break down some of these bombshells. It's not, at the time that we post the book is not out yet, but we have read some excerpts saying that the Queen didn't want Meghan at Philip's funeral. A lot of people are like, is this true? Is this false? Considering Tom said that he didn't really talk to a lot of Meghan's friends in this. I don't know. It's kind of hard to read between the lines.
It's so interesting. I've been looking into this, and Tom Bauer is a really well-known biographer, and he does tend to write about people who are still alive, which makes an even more interesting biography. He's been sued for libel 3 different times for his biographies and has never once lost, or he's never been convicted or whatever the term would be, because his sources are ironclad. He always has reasonings to back things up, and nothing in the story is technically a lie. However, what we're now seeing is that what he says might not technically be a lie, but it might not be the whole truth. It seems that he's doing a good job directing you where he wants you to go. So an example of that is saying the Queen didn't want Meghan at Philip's funeral. And was that not a passing comment of like, goodness, it's so crowded in here. Thank goodness I guess it wasn't very crowded that day, but whatever it was, like, was it a passing comment that's now been twisted into this narrative? That's the questions that I would be asking.
Yes. No, I agree. And it was that did she say that because if Meghan came, all the focus would have been on Meghan and they should be, celebrating the life of Prince Philip. So yeah, it's like you said, it's going to be very hard to read between the lines about all this. There was Tom Bauer alleges that they were mad that their Jubilee plans were blocked, that, that they couldn't go on the balcony with the rest of the royal family. So I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And I think that a lot of people are going to believe this book as gospel, as the gospel truth of what happened. And I think some things might be true and we might see some interesting things come to light. It looks like he did get some really exclusive interviews and he spoke to some really key characters in this story. But whether it tells the whole truth, I don't know that we'll ever know the whole truth.
No, we'll never know. But some people are already speaking out against the book, especially the whole Vanity Fair aspect of this. So she guest edited Vanity Fair a number of years ago. He alleges that she was difficult to work with. She wasn't happy with the outcome of the article because it was all about her love of Prince Harry, but it really should have been about the work that she was doing, correct?
Yeah, so this was this huge feature in Vanity Fair, really announcing she's Prince Harry's girlfriend. It's serious, and sort of, really letting the world meet her. And she really wanted it to be about her activism, about her charity work, about her as, sort of a humanitarian. And instead, it was more about her being mad about Harry was the title of the feature and her acting career. And so the Tom Bauer's book says that she was difficult, that she was really upset, that she sent all these angry messages about about how the article turned out. And within about a day of this feature coming out, the journalist Sam Kashner denies this negative account. He sort of leads us to believe he's been misquoted. Mm-hmm. Again, that the narrative's been directed. He says that, yes, these things are true, but that's not the whole story. And I found that really interesting, kind of the first instance that we're seeing where it's technically true, but it's not really the whole story.
Yeah, which may, like you said, may be a lot about this book. Well, to help us break this book down even further and to kind of delve into whether or not this can cause even more of a royal rift between the family is royal expert Jonathan Sacerdoti. Take a look. I mean, do you think that this book will cause more of a rift between Harry and the royal family?
Well, I don't think that Tom Bauer's going to pull any punches. I don't think that he's trying to keep the royal family sweet or obey any edicts that they might put out to him. I also don't think that he's terribly concerned from what one hears about what Harry and Meghan will think of him. And that maybe puts him in a perfect position to give a book to all of us that we might want to read and see, because it will feel somewhere in between. I think that the Ernest Scobie book, Finding Freedom, got a lot of criticism for seeming to be sort of semi-authorized book right. by the Duke and Duchess. And I think that, again, however true that is, there seemed to be stuff in there that could only have come from them or their people. And it seemed to be very sympathetic to them. I don't think Tom Bauer is going to do that. I think this book's going to be far more explosive. And that means that if it's telling, if it's revealing secrets, revealing stories of what happened behind the scenes through sourced and reliable means, I think that will be potentially very damaging, both to the royal family and to the ex-royals, if we can call them that, because I think it's going to just widen that rift. But again, I say, when I say it could be damaging to Harry and Meghan, might not be damaging. It might be exactly what they like, because while they're not actively involved in the book, all the controversy and all the gossip and all the backbiting about who did what and who said what, it just keeps them in the press and they can react to it, or their closest people can react to it, and there could even be legal cases. They're not averse to a bit of litigation. So I think that it will definitely be just more fuel on that fire.
Definitely. Can you imagine the Queen, though, actually being happy that Meghan did not attend Philip's funeral, as Tom Bauer claims in the book?
I think that it was, I mean, I remember we talked around that time about whether or not they would or should come, who should come. The same as about the Jubilee. And I always said that it was very difficult for them. I think the Queen is probably quite genuine when she puts out these occasional, very occasional comments about them being much loved members of the family. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true. You know, I think we can have members of our families who behave in ways we don't like and make our lives difficult, and we still like them or love them. So on a family level, probably the Queen, I think would have liked her to be there, though I don't know how they do get on. I think that we saw plenty of touching images of the two of them during the time that she was a working royal. Sorry about that. We saw plenty of images of them that were quite touching when she was a working royal. The Queen actually seemed to take her under her wing. There were images of the two of them laughing and sitting together. I think that in that respect, maybe the Queen would very much have appreciated the gesture of her being there. On the other hand, there were plenty of good reasons why she wasn't. The restricted numbers, the massive amount of controversy and gossip and speculation that would have attracted around what was effectively an extremely sad moment for the Queen and the nation and the family. So hard to know. But I think probably on balance, from a perspective of being the Queen, the monarch, maybe it was a relief because we're not talking about her personal or internal emotions as an individual. We're talking about as the monarch. Did she want that upstaging an already pared down and stripped down because of COVID funeral for a much loved, long-standing member of the royal family who had massive admiration for the way he carried out his duties and her husband, of so long? I think probably she wanted the focus all on him.
Do you think that they will read this book? Do you think that they are dreading this book? I mean, what do you think their mindset is right now?
Again, look, it's rumor. I don't know them, and I don't know for I've never had a solid tip off that this is true, but they are said to read stuff. We had all these kind of jokey rumors that they would be doom scrolling on their phones as they drove away from their private jet after the Jubilee celebrations and things like that. And if that's true, they can't be enjoying this. Or maybe they are, because, it's that old Oscar Wilde thing. The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about. And I think that when you've made your stock and trade, your living, your money generator, your wealth generator, when you've made that your fame and failing fame, infamy is pretty good. Notoriety, they're doing it. We're talking about them. You and I are talking about them on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. People always, write in the comments, if you hate them so much, why are you talking about them? I don't hate them. I don't think people necessarily hate them, but you can disapprove of the way people behave without hating them. I don't know them. So I would say that I imagine they are following it. I would imagine their people follow it and probably, keep them updated, however diplomatically. Bearing in mind the rumours and allegations of bullying and tempers, maybe they're cautious about how they update the couple, but I would imagine it's a fairly fundamental part of their planning. And so either they're messing up in getting this sort of negative coverage, or it's all part of the plan. Better to get this than to get nothing, more books sold, more Netflix viewers when the thing finally comes out. If they were towing the line, they wouldn't really get so much interest, I think.
Yeah, I wonder if this is even on Harry and Meghan's radar, if they're even going to be talking about this, if they're even going to read about it, or if they're like, oh, it's just another one of these ridiculous claims about us. I don't know. Or like you said, another lawsuit could be on the hands. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's what's really difficult is if there's any really serious lies in this book, we know that there would most likely be a lawsuit, you know, handed out from their legal team. And they've almost, you know, damaged themselves in how often they file lawsuits, and that now we start to think that if they don't file a lawsuit, then it must be true. So they're in a sticky situation. And I agree with you. Are they just over it and they're, you know, like, whatever, not another one? Or are they really going to be, you know, watching this closely?
Yeah. No, you make a really good point, because like, they're damned if they do, damned if they don't. Right. If you're not going to say anything about it, then we're going to assume that it's true. No, you're totally right. All right. Well, now it is time to check in on our pint-sized palace, and very exciting news. Pippa Middleton welcomed her third child, a baby girl. Pippa and her husband, James, welcomed their first child, a son named Arthur, back in October of 2018. She gave birth to a baby girl named Grace in March of 2021. And she followed in the footsteps of Duchess Kate, giving birth at the Lindo Wing of St. Mary's Hospital. That was, of course, the same place that she welcomed her three children. So exciting. Another little cousin for George, Charlotte, and Louis to play with.
So exciting. Almost, I think, all of the Middletons are now decamping out to Berkshire near Windsor. So the cousins will have lots and lots of opportunities to get together, to grow up together. I think it's so exciting. And another little girl, I think, is fun. There's lots of little boys running around. Mm-hmm. So another little girl is exciting.
Yeah. So congratulations to the entire family. Very exciting news. Well, Christine, thank you so much for breaking down all things royals with me, as always.
This was a fun week. There was some juicy stuff.
Juicy stuff. And I'd love to know what you guys thought about everything. So please keep commenting, keep subscribing, and we'll see you guys next week. Hey everyone, I'm Christina Garibaldi, the host of Us Weekly Celebrity Coverage. Don't forget to hit subscribe for the latest celebrity news, tips, and video. And for much more content, make sure you head on over to usmagazine.com, the official home of Us Weekly magazine.